follow the podcast on Twitter at the handle @1PerfectBracket. That's the number 1PerfectBracket. And so today, you know, I was thinking the last week or so about maybe what the topic of an episode could be. And I thought I'd jump into something that I had been thinking about a while, about how I could use the odds and the spreads for individual NCAA tournament games to try to help me as I predict them. So basically just looking at what Vegas has, like, for example, you know, one team's favored by 2 points, and obviously on at different sports books, the odds vary a little bit, but usually they tend to be pretty consistent. So basically my mindset is, obviously, like, if you're looking at a 1 versus 16 matchup, you know, you don't really have to look at the spread to know that the 1 seed's going to be favored by quite a bit. But especially when the games get a little closer, you know, the spreads can give you some good insight. So, like, for example, you know, and even if it's not quite as close, so if you take, like, a 5 versus 12 matchup, you know, when I used to do this without even... And even like last year when I filled out my bracket, I was only semi-conscious of the spreads for these games. But so in the past, I would look at 5-12 matchups, and I had a certain idea in my head of what like a general 5-12 matchup is, and like how, what the percent chance of an upset would be. And obviously, I would analyze that individual matchup, but that was, I was only using really my analysis. Obviously, I was looking at some others. The thing is, like, Vegas, they tend to be pretty good with their spreads. You know, they're not always spot on. And I think sometimes, like, if so-and-so team's favored by to win by 5, and then they actually win by 5, I think gamblers and people that follow the spreads tend to remember those games and just be like, wow, Vegas is so good at this. Whereas they just don't really remember the lot of games where the team's projected to win by 5 and wins by, like, 20, actually. But still, so I think that Vegas might not be quite as good at it as some people think, but it's still a lot better at it than maybe someone that doesn't really follow it would even realize. So yeah, back to the 5-12 thing. So I would kind of look at a 5-12 and just have a general idea of this is the percent chance to win. But if you actually look at the spreads, sometimes like it's one team might be favored by 8, another team favored by 9, another team favored by 9. And there might be one 5-12 matchup where there's a team that's actually favored only, the 5 seed's only favored by 5. And maybe you kind of thought that this was a game that might be a little bit more of a close game or a chance for an upset, but maybe you didn't really realize it. And so in the past, there'd be some games where I would be like, wow, like, if there's a lot of times there'd be two games, again, let's say two 5-12 matchups, that let's say I thought, just me looking at it, I thought, okay, the 12 seed has like probably an equal chance to win both these games. You know, I thought they were kind of similar in terms of the matchup disparity. But then I could look at the spread and be like, wow, like one team, again, is favored by 5, another is favored by 9. And in that case, you might be like, it would help you say, okay, wow, this one of these games actually seems like a lot more likely to be an upset than the other. So yeah, exactly. So here we go. I looked back to basically to 2000, basically all the games since 2002, I believe. Actually, excuse me. What I decided to do is I wanted to go back and look at the spreads for every NCAA tournament game and see how teams performed against the spread and see how accurate the spread ended up being. So I was going back looking for basically data online that could show the point spreads for these games. And I wanted to go back as far as 2002, but it actually ended up being hard to find point spread information online. Okay, so just to clarify, I was able to access the point spread data going back to 2013. So, yeah, so basically for each individual matchup, so for example, the 3 versus 14 seed matchup, I have 24 data points, 4 per year, 6 years. So I wanted to start out and go through each individual seed matchup, and I actually will start with the 3 versus 14 and see how different teams that performed against the spread. So going back, the 3 seeds in total have a record of 19-5, and when the spread is greater than or equal to 10 and the 3 seeds are favored by 10 or more, the 3 seeds have a record of 17-3. But when the spread is less than 10, 3 seeds only have a record of 2-2, and one of those 3 seed wins was only a 1-point win, actually. So this is kind of, so, you know, this basically says, and the last point is basically, the, so what I should have started with is that the average spread of the 3 versus 14 matchup is 12.02 points exactly. So basically these games tend to have a spread, have the 3 seed favored by about 12 points, usually over 10. And if the spread's greater than or equal to 10, 17-3. But so basically what this says is, since if the spread's less than 10, the 3 seeds are only 2-2, that like if you're looking at 3 versus 14 matchups in 1 year, you see that the spread happens to be less than 10, that should be a red flag that, okay, this is expected to be less of a disparity in terms of these two teams than a typical 3 versus 14 game. Obviously, it doesn't mean that the 14 seed would win. You know, if the 3 seed's only favored by 9, maybe they'll still win by 9, you know? But that should just be a red flag. And if you look at what I thought was interesting is if you look at all the deficits or all the game results for the team, the spreads for the 14 seeds actually upset 3 seeds, you get -6, -12.5, -7.5, -14, and -11. So basically, in the sample size, there were 5 14 seed upsets, and 3 of those were when the 14 seed was an underdog by 10 or more points. So this would have been really unexpected. But then 2 of the games, the 14 seed was only underdogs by 6 points and 7.5 points respectively. So again, you know, that'd be rare. It's an interesting situation when the 14 seed would only be a 6-point or 7.5-point underdog, and that should have been a major red flag that could have been an upset. But of course, as the 12.5, 14, and 11 will show you, you know, there are some times where Vegas is a little off, that the 14 seed is a greater than 10-point underdog, and they still manage to pull it out. So obviously it's not exact. One game that I just wanted to use as like an example is if you go back to 2016, West Virginia played Stephen F. Austin in a 3 versus 14 matchup, and Stephen F. Austin pulled the upset. And it was talked about as a pretty big upset, but if you actually go back and look, Stephen F. Austin was only a 6-point underdog. So a major, so basically the closest was the least underdog in terms of a point spread as any matchup from the data I collected here. So, you know, that should have been a major red flag, and it was still a big upset, but is less so. You know, it was more predictable. And just in that same year, you know, that was the only upset, and there was a Miami beat Buffalo when they were 13-point favorites, Utah beat Fresno State when they were 8-point favorites, Texas A&M beat Green Bay when they were 12.5-point favorites, and again, West Virginia was only a 6-point favorite. So even if you were to look at just the 3 versus 14 matchup, that the West Virginia Stephen F. Austin is the one that definitely should have jumped out. Okay, now we'll move on to the 4 versus 13 seeds. So for the 4 versus 13 matchup, the average of all the spreads, again going back to 2012, has been 10.06 points. So the 4 seeds on average have been favored by 10, a little over 10 points. And overall, 4 seeds have a record of 20-4. And when the spread is greater than or equal to 10 points, 4 seeds have had a record of 11-1. But when the spread is less than 10, 4 seeds have had a record of 9-3. Still good, but if you were to look at the spreads of the games in which the 13 seeds pulled off upsets, the spreads are 11.5, 9, 6.5, and 6. So again, the 11.5 and the 9 are about what you would expect in terms of an average spread, so aren't really telling you too much in terms of hinting at an upset. But the 6.5 and the 6 definitely should have jumped out as potential upsets. So as an example, this is actually one that I lucked into back in 2013. Kansas State was the 4 seed taking on number 13 seed LaSalle. And I remember LaSalle actually was in a play-in game. And I remember I just watched them, had not watched them before all season. And I remember I just thought they were really talented and obviously played well in that game. And it's obviously one sample size. And I was like, wow, I actually think they'll beat Kansas State. And like, it was not a lot of, and again, I just kind of lucked into it, but, and I didn't even know the spread of the game. So if I had looked, I could have seen that Kansas State was only favored by 6 points over LaSalle. So not only did I like LaSalle, this was actually should have jumped out as, in terms of 4-13 games, a better chance for a 13 seed to make an upset. And LaSalle did end up winning. And just for that year, again, like that was the only 4-13 upset, and the other games had spreads of 13.5, 11, and 9. So again, that should have jumped out as the one that could have happened. And again, it's not a guarantee just because they're favored by 6 or only underdogs by 6 that they're going to pull the upset, but it's all about probabilities, and that would have been a better chance to happen. Okay, now I'll move on to the 5-12. In the 5-12 matchups, the average of all the spreads was 6.15 points. So basically 6 points. 5 seeds on average have been favored by 6 points over 12 seeds. So that in itself should tell you that, you know, these games are projected to be pretty close. Overall, 5 seeds have had a record of 15-9. Only 15-9, which is, again, like 12 seeds win a lot. When the spread has been greater than or equal to 10, 5 seeds have been 2-0. When the spread is less than 10, 5 seeds, which it tends to be a lot, 5 seeds have been 13-9. When the spread is greater than 5, 5 seeds are what record of 12-2. And when the spread is greater than or equal to 7, 5 seeds have a record of 9-1. So basically this will tell you that a lot of games are close, but if most of the, again, the average spread is 6.15, but if you get a 5 seed that's favored by basically over 7 points, like again, if the spread is greater than equal to 7, 5 seeds have had a record of 9-1. So there are a lot of upset potential, but if you happen to get a matchup when the 5 seed is favored by 7 or greater, then you can feel much more comfortable that that team will not get upset. So if you look at the spreads of the games in which 12 seeds have won, you get -1, -9, -5, -3, -6.5, -4.5, -2, -3, -5. So there have been plenty of games that have had really close spreads when the 12 seeds have pulled upsets. Of course, there was a 12 seed that pulled an upset over when they were 9-point underdogs, and it can happen. But again, just giving you a little bit of an edge in terms of your predicting games. It seems to give you a little bit of an edge. So an example from actually this year, 2018, I could have looked at all the 5-12 matchups and said, okay, like a lot of these are similar and not really had a great understanding of which upsets would be more or less likely to happen. And if you look at, for example, the West Virginia-Murray State game, 17% of people picked Murray State to win, which is not that much in terms of a 5-12 upset. A lot of times the percentage will be higher. But still, if you had looked at the spread, you would have seen that Murray State was a 10.5-point underdog. And this would have been this is like a pretty big outlier in terms of a 5-12 game. This would tell you that, okay, this is not your typical 5-12 game in terms of looking for an upset. And Murray State ended up losing by 17, and that should have been an indicator for you that, okay, this is, again, not your typical 5-12 game. Upsets can happen, although there were no 5-12 upsets this year, but this is not the game you would pick. Okay, well, but now we'll move on to 6-11. In the 6-11 seed matchups, the average of all the spreads has been only 2.9 points. So, although, you know, 6-11, you might think, okay, that's a decent seed disparity, but again, the games have expected to be very close. So overall, 6 seeds in this, like, last 5-year data set, 6 seeds actually only have a record of 11-13. So they've 11 seeds have won more than 6 seeds have won. And when the spread is less than or equal to 3, 6 seeds have a record of 5-8. Doesn't tell you exactly too much. And basically, there's not a lot to gain out of this matchup. Basically, this has been a major toss-up. If anything, it might tell you that, okay, you know, the difference between 11 and 6 seed is not as much as maybe the difference between a 5 and a 12, even though there do tend to be a decent amount of upsets. I mean, again, that's obvious. But I think maybe your eyes can play a little bit of tricks on you. You see the 6-11, And, you know, that's a 5-seed disparity, but it might be a little misleading. If you just go to see, if you look at what this spread disparity has been when 11 seeds have upset the 6, minus 3, minus 2, minus 6.5, minus 3, minus 11, minus 2, minus 2, minus 5, minus 2.5. And then there was actually a few games, one in which the 11 seed was actually favored by 4 points, another when the 11 seed was favored by 1, and another when it was a pick'em, so it's basically a toss-up. So this especially, if anything, would be a huge red flag if you were actually to look and see that the 11 seed was favored in the game. That would have been a major indicator. This is a game you should really look at picking. So as an example, if you look at 2014, you see that there was the 4-point example where it was the 6-seed Massachusetts versus 11-seed Tennessee. Tennessee was actually favored by 4 points in that game. That should have told you that this is, if you're going to pick a 6-11, this is one of the 6-11s you definitely probably want to take. And Tennessee ended up winning that game by 19. Again, it's not a guarantee, but I feel like there are probably a lot of people that maybe felt like Tennessee had a decent chance to win, but weren't as fully educated on the probability as they would have been if they had kind of looked at the point spread and said, wow, I thought they had a good chance, and now this kind of helps to confirm it. Okay, now we'll move on to 7 versus the 10 seeds. So the average spread in a 7 versus 10 seed game has been minus 1.8. So 7 seeds have been favored by an average of only 1.8 points. Again, so you'd expect these games to be going in both the 7 seed and the 10 seed's favor. You know, pretty much toss-ups in that regard. But obviously, you should look at the individual game spread to help give you some extra insight. So overall, 7 seeds have had a record of 17-7, so they actually have won a lot more than 10 seeds as of late. And when the spread is less than or equal to 3, 7 seeds don't win quite as much. They have a record of 10-7. And when the 10 seeds are favored, well, 10 seeds are just flat out favored, so this is actually a different look at it. So when the 10 seeds are favored, which you wouldn't usually expect, 7 seeds only have a record of 1-4. So again, if you actually see that the 10 seed happens to be favored in the game, that should give you a lot more insight into the fact that maybe you should pick the 10 seed. And when the 7 seeds are favored, 7 seeds have had a record of 16-3 overall. Yeah. So this seems like a game that tends to be a toss-up, and just seeing who's favored, maybe you should just go with them, and that'll give you a good edge. And in particular, you know, obviously it helps to see what team's favored, but I tend to think this is not... I don't really have any research to back this up yet, but if there's a situation when the 10 seed, or basically a seed, like an underdog seed, so it would apply to the 6-11 matchup as well, if a 10 seed is favored over the 7 seed, I tend to think that maybe that gives them a major advantage, you know, more so than, like, let's say a 10 seed is a 2-point favorite over a 7 seed. Yeah, that'd make you think, okay, maybe they have a better chance of winning. But I think it might even be more significant than just saying a 7 seed has a 2-point favorite. Because I tend to think that, you know, if there's kind of that underdog mindset, you know, the 10 seed comes in and they're trying to pull an upset, and that, like, might at times maybe make, you know, there be a little bit of pressure on the 7 seed. So if you're both kind of, if you're a 10 seed, you're playing with kind of that nothing to lose mentality, even though, like, that's not a huge upset beating a 7 seed. But if you kind of have that mentality and you're actually expected to win the game, I think there's something to that that kind of can make it even a better bet, if that makes sense. Basically, you know, you, like, are a quote-unquote underdog, but you're actually better. I think that kind of combination, I don't know, I think it tends to work well. So if you look at the actual spreads of the games in which the 10 seeds have won, there was a game when 10 seeds were actually favored by 1.5. There was a game when they were favored by 4.5, favored by 4, favored by 6. And there were some games where they were 1-point underdogs, 3-point underdogs, and 1-point underdogs. So, yeah. So it's interesting. And if you look at a specific example, if you go back to 2017, you can see there was a 7-10 matchup in which the 7 seed Dayton took on 10 seed Wichita State, and Wichita State was actually, as a 10 seed, favored by 6 points and ended up winning by exactly 6. And there was another matchup when it was 7 seed St. Mary's versus 10 seed VCU, and St. Mary's was a 4.5-point favorite. And that should have been a little significant, because that 4.5-point spread is higher than you typically would see in these 7-10 matchups. Typically, the point spread's only around 1 to 2 points. So that should have told you, wow, like maybe St. Mary's actually has a better chance to beat VCU than you would have expected, just looking at a 7-10 matchup, which you would have maybe thought would be more of a toss-up. So again, I think there's some insight you can gain from that. Okay, now we're going to move on to the last seed matchup of the 8-9 seeds. So lastly, we got the 8-9 seeds, and as you'd expect, this game tends to be pretty much a toss-up. On average, 8 seeds have only been favored by 0.3 points, minus 0.3. So typically, it's averaged out to be a toss-up. So if you look as a whole, 8 seeds have had a record of 14-10. So they've actually, even though it's a only 1 seed differential, 8 seeds have still won more than 9 seeds as of late. And when the spread is less than or equal to 3, 8 seeds have a record of 10-8. And when the 9 seeds are favored, the 8 seeds only have a record of 4-5. And when the 8 seeds are favored, they have had a record of 9-4. So again, even in these close matchups, even if the spread's only, you know, a few points, still looking at the team that's favored, if you have no other insight in the game, picking the team that's favored to win is probably going to give you a better bet than otherwise. So if you look at the spreads of the games, which the 9 seeds have won, they've been a 1.5-point underdog, it's been a pick 'em, they've been a 1-point underdog, a 2-point underdog, a 4.5-point underdog, and there's also some games in which they've won and that they're 2-point favorites. The 9 seeds are 2-point favorites, the 3.5-point favorite, a 4-point favorite, a 5.5-point favorite. So yeah, basically, again, just a lot of the seeds are going to be close, but there are some games in which a lot of the spreads are going to be close, but there are some games in which an 8 or 9 seed will actually be favored by more than 2 points. And if even if it's just more than 2 points, that should tell you, okay, this isn't normal. So maybe, obviously, this game could go in either direction, but it's not your typical 8-9 matchup, and I should take note of that. If you look at an example here, 2017, there was a game that, you know, I had a hard time picking, Wisconsin versus Virginia Tech. And a lot of people liked Wisconsin, and rightfully so, and they were 5.5-point favorites in that game as an 8 seed. And honestly, that right there should have told you, okay, obviously either team could win, but it's really, it would be hard to see yourself picking against Wisconsin. You don't typically see 5.5-point lines in 8-9 matchups. So when you do, you just kind of pounce on it when you do. So basically as a whole, you know, this is, just looking at the spreads in themselves isn't going to be enough to have like an amazing bracket, because upsets happen and Vegas doesn't always have the spreads down right, you know? But incorporating them as part of your decision-making process seems to be undeniably a valuable thing to do. Obviously, how much you want to take them into account is up for debate, but there's a lot of insight that can be gained by looking at these things. So, you know, don't just look at your bracket, look at the point spreads as well and see what seems a little abnormal. Okay, so that's the podcast. You can, again, follow the podcast on Twitter at @OnePerfectBracket. And thank you. I've already been thinking about what I can do for next podcast, so hopefully I can do that shortly.